Well, sister, how do you balance your parent and family's expectations with your own career goals and dreams?
I think it's something that I'm still navigating. I know with being in school, working, and then my internship, there was times that I'd get home and I think I'd be home by like 8:30 or 9, and my parents would come up to me and say, "Hey, I need you to pay this bill," or "Hey, I need you to help me with this paperwork." And I'm still working on how to let them know that I need to be told before, like, "Hey, I need this to be, I don't know, submitted or paid by this day. Like, give me a week, and that way I put some time aside." Before I went to school, I had all the time in the world. So whenever they needed something, it was then and there. Like, they needed something, and I'm like, "Yeah, let's get it done. Let's do it." So I think that's something that they were always used to. And now like I mentioned, I don't want it to sound like I'm being disrespectful, because I'm not. But when we grow up with no boundaries or not being able to get those boundaries respected, it's hard. So it's definitely still something that I'm working on, and something that I'm kind of teaching them. That way they're aware of my time and I get things done, before their due date. Because usually it was the day before or the day of, or, "Oh, the bill was due yesterday." And now I think it's just communicating that with them. And letting them know, like, "You know what, I'm busy too, but I'm willing to help." And like I said, it's still something that I'm still trying to work, because I do want to help my parents, but there's times that I'm just like, "Okay, you're gonna have to wait."
Thank you so much for sharing, sister. And I think that's a really big step that we all go through with trying to set up these boundaries, because a lot of us never really grew up with that. So, in the same topic here, Prima, what about you? How do you balance your parents' and family's expectations with your own career goals and dreams?
Yeah, I agree with my prima, Janet, who we're going to introduce very, very quickly here. I've always said this. I think that the biggest blessing and the biggest challenge of coming from a Latinx family is how family-centered we are. It's such a blessing to be able to have, family, to have primas that are your best friends, to have primas that feel like sisters that are sisters. You know, I love that community piece on it, but it also is difficult when we're trying to find ourselves individually. And I don't know of any Latinx professional or friend or really individual who has figured out that perfect receta yet. So I think for now, we just have to kind of put the pieces together of what works for us, what doesn't work for us, and maybe pitch different ideas to one another and see how is it that we can really begin to live life for ourselves and self-actualize our dreams while still remaining respectful to our culture and our families. And, you know, that's the challenge. But primos and primas, that is going to be the episode of today. How do we make sure that we self-actualize in our own dreams and our own values while also managing the expectations that come from our families and from our culture? I know it has been a little while, so we may be a little bit rusty, but welcome to your favorite podcast. My name is Andrea, and I am joined by my co-host.
Hi, everybody. I am the co-host, Jack. I'm the other prima, and welcome to our podcast, Ponle Acento.
Alrighty, so we promised you an introduction for a new face on our screen. That is my cousin and Jack's sister, Jeanette, who recently got her graduate degree in counseling, and we are very, very proud of her because she has contributed to that 8% of Latinas in the U.S. with a master's degree. And I hope that next year, when we are recording this again, and the year after that, that 8% becomes a 15% and a 20% and a 30%. So, Prima, thank you for contributing to this statistic. Thank you for your hard work. I know it is very difficult to be able to navigate grad school while also navigating family and culture expectations. Tell us, I guess, a little bit about yourself, whatever you feel comfortable sharing before we dive into this topic.
Thank you, Prima, and thank you, sister, for having me. I am very excited to be here with you both today, and excited to share a little bit of what I do and how I navigate that with, my parents and my career or my fun, my life. Like my prima Andrea said, yes, I just recently graduated. I got my master's degree in clinical counseling. It was a tough 2 years. It was something that I didn't see myself doing. And thankfully, I've always had the support from my family, with whether it's my parents, my primas, my sister, always encouraging me and letting me know that I'm capable of anything I set my mind to. You know, these past 2 years were a little difficult trying to navigate, you know, time with family, time with friends, and then still going to school. And as the oldest, I think that there are certain expectations sometimes from my parents that they don't understand. And you know, like we're going to mention in this episode, those boundaries that we have to set, that can be a little bit difficult because it's something that is not really normal for us. And we are always there for our family. But yes, I'm very happy. I'm gonna start a new job soon as a mental health clinician, school-based. So I'm really happy to share that information with you guys. And thank you so much for having me.
I love it. I love that our workforce is filled with powerful women, educated women, and we're changing the narrative. And I know that we always hear this so many times, especially during your commencement ceremony, you know, the saying of we are our ancestors' wildest dreams. But I just know that that is so real. Like, there is no way that we could imagine our own abuelita being a clinician, you know, a counselor back in her day. And just thinking about her mom and the person that came before her. And so to just know that we are not just individuals who are getting degrees, but we are the new professionals of this new society, it gives me a lot of hope. And it really reaffirms everything that we are doing and everything that our immigrant parents and family members and friends have done. Jack, before we get started a little bit deeper dive into the conversation, is there anything else that you would like to add? I know that you and Jeanette are very, very close.
Thank you so much, Prima, for giving me this opportunity. I also do want to share that I am the proudest sister ever. We do have our other younger sister who also graduated with Janet, with our sister. So I had the privilege of being there in the audience, seeing them walk the stage. And my sister Janet and I actually graduated during COVID. So it was very difficult times. I actually wasn't able to see her physically the first time, which I knew was also a lot of hard work on her end. So for me, I was so happy to be there with my sisters in this moment. I just feel like the proudest sister ever, and I can't wait to hear how well it goes in her new job. But yeah, thank you so much for letting me share this emotion with everyone, Prima. I'm the happiest.
Yay! I love it. I love it. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and dive a little bit more into our theme and the idea that came out of this episode when we were brainstorming back in January. Jack and I, we thought of something about like how our parents, or I guess the generation before us, those who would be considered the immigrants, how their main goal was to feed their family. And now us, as first generation children of immigrants, we are constantly looking for ways on how we could feed our soul. And so when we think about feeding our family versus feeding our soul, there is a big gap in which a lot of the times, whether it's done consciously or unconsciously, our immigrant parents may not understand why we are kind of that soul searching. Why is it so difficult for us, you know, to navigate school and work, you know, and extracurricular activities, when for them, they crossed, you know, the border. They navigated a whole new language, and they enrolled their kids into school all on their own. They figured out how to establish really a new life in a new country with a new language. And so sometimes there's that gap where our parents, their resilience threshold is so much higher because they were really in that traumatic experience of immigrating that they cannot relate to the challenges that us as first-gen students are having, right? Because sometimes they may already believe that they already did the hardest thing. So why aren't we figuring it out? And so I want to introduce the idea really quickly. It is a term in psychology, and it's called positive psychological change. And so also known as PTG. This refers to positive psychological change that can often occur as a result of struggling with highly challenging life circumstances or traumatic events. So when PTG happens, it doesn't necessarily mean that the trauma is desirable or beneficial, but rather in that trauma, those individuals find new strengths, new perspectives, or values that make them temporarily forget of the actual pain. And so we often see this with a lot of immigrants, particularly those that immigrated to this country and now have the privilege of having legal status, where we'll hear them say, like, you know, this is a wonderful American dream, or este bendito país que me dio oportunidades. When we hear or see those phrases or those conversations, a lot of the times it can indicate that those individuals really are the product of PTG, so positive psychological change, meaning that because of that hardship, something positive came out of it. That could be legal residence, a new job, a new family, being able to afford a home, being able to provide for their family back in their native country. They forget the actual hardship that caused them to be in the place that they are today. And so a lot of immigrants that experience PTG, because their association has now become positive, even though they're still holding that trauma, it is so difficult for them to understand the challenges that their children are now facing because they have turned that traumatic experience into something positive. So therefore, there is no way that they can imagine that life would be harder for their children of immigrants. And I'll pass it on to you, Prima Jack, because you've got the lead on the next segment.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prima. And I think a lot of our viewers and our listeners hopefully are already connecting to what we are discussing in this episode. We want to transition a little into talking about like the self-actualization of us children of immigrants and how difficult it is for us to get to this point because of all of the family expectations and because of, you know, this concept, right, that our parents go through when immigrating and going through all the trauma, but then finding this positivity within their lives. So for our listeners who aren't really familiar with the term of self-actualization, it is a concept that emphasizes individual growth and autonomy and fulfillment in being able to promote one's like values. And it has significant implication in various fields, including like our ability to achieve a fulfilling life, which involves like unlocking someone's unique talents, abilities, and our like full potential, essentially, is what it is. But this can be very difficult. One, as we are mentioning, there are a great discrepancy at times between the way that our immigrant parents think and the way that we think, or in our lives, of course. And so this can be really difficult to navigate because while part of our life is really difficult to attain a degree, for example, or try to find a job and try to earn enough to be able to build a home, our parents have a much different concept of, or sometimes can't even grasp actually how hard that is for us in this generation, as an example. So that is self-actualization. And I want to acknowledge like different reasons as to why a lot of us have a difficult time getting there. I know for me personally, for example, I struggle with being far from family. I moved back to LA and now I have a job here. I live on my own. I'm 4 hours away. But even then, even though I am in a successful part of my life, right? I'm very happy. I have my own income. I no longer rely on my parent. I always have this family commentary being made at me as to when I'm moving back home. And so that is a family expectation that I constantly struggle with being able to obtain my self-actualization because I constantly have these comments being made. So it's very difficult to continue to break the cycle, right, of me being the first within my mom, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, of having my own apartment, for example. It is still very difficult because there is this expectation that I should be living at home and I should be contributing to the house, or I should be, you know, like helping my mom, being with family until I marry, for example. And so that is an example. I do want to acknowledge too that there are some other children of immigrants who might also have the same trauma. As we mentioned in previous episodes, sometimes that trauma could potentially be then given to us, right, through our genetics. And so that can also be another reason why a lot of us might have, for example, the want to go and travel and, you know, be a free spirit. But then we are traumatized that our families might not be here when we come back. And so we have a very difficult time being able to have this opportunity. And that is another example of how our self-actualization is, again, prolonged, or this is like another challenge. I do know, for example, some of my friends whose parents are unable to find jobs and they become the sole providers of the family. They become the head of the household. And so that is also another example of why sometimes we are unable to have the self-actualization. And so some reasons are out of our control, and others, you know, it is the family expectation, which I think a lot of us really go through. That is, they have all of these different viewpoints, or they still hold on to these traditional values. And we are in a very much different space now, or we're trying to break these cycles, and it can be really, really hard. And so I guess with this, I wanted to ask, maybe start with my sister here, Janet. I wanted to ask, in what ways has it been difficult to you to self-actualize? Now, you talked a little bit about having boundaries, for example, but is there any other examples that you can think of, sister, where it's been really hard to fulfill your potential?
Yeah, I think that there's times that I wish I was a little bit more independent, but living at home and, like you guys mentioned, having that family expectation, whether it is to work or go to school. Thankfully, my parents have never been discouraging, and they've always supported what I've wanted to do. But there's been times that I think about, like, what if I would have gone to college a little bit further? Maybe I would be a lot more independent than what I am now. And although I have some independence, I think that that has prolonged, like, for me to show how capable I am and what I am capable of, because that fear is instilled in me. Because, okay, what if you go far? And for example, you, sister, that you say, well, what if you can't pay rent one day, you know? And there's all these what ifs that don't really happen, but it's the fear that they put in, for example, my brain, like, yeah, what if I do move and then I can't pay anything? Or what if I do and something happens, what am I going to do? So I think that it's a lot of the fear that they have to let me go, or to let you go, because I know at the beginning, I mean, Prima, you went to Sac State, and then sister, you went to UCLA, and it's something that family struggles with, letting go. So I know that the fact that I've been here, it has been such a blessing, being able to be here with my parents. And like Jack, you mentioned, you know, with our sister, I was able to do the master's program, and it's such a blessing. But then we were both gone. You know, we had class, we had our internship, we had work, and we were hardly home. And sometimes it felt like, okay, well, if I want to use some self-care time, well, you haven't been home, where are you going? And it's kind of that, I think that something that we need to teach our parents, to let them know, like, I'm old enough, I know what I'm doing, with obviously without disrespecting their home, since I'm still under their roof, but letting them know, like, hey, I need my time too. And being there for them as much as I could, and helping, like, whether it's splitting, you know, the help between Joanna and I, I'm trying, okay, sister, I'm going to work on this, and you help dad with this, or you help mom with this. I know that there was a situation, I was going to work, right after work, going to my internship. And if it was not my internship, it was coming home to do class, or going to Stan and doing class there. I came home one day, and my dad needed some paperwork signed through email for his seasonal job that they were waiting for. That day, I think I was just very mentally drained. And I remember getting in the car and telling my sister, I was like, sister, don't talk to me. I just want to drive home and be inside, like, just silence. Got home and I was like, I'm just going to shower and go to bed. I don't want to talk to anyone. I remember coming home and my dad was like, oh yeah, I got an email for the seasonal job and I need you to fill it out. And I was like, I'm not going to fill it out today. I felt really bad. And then he was just like, no. And I was like, no. And I feel like parents, they want to know what's going on, what's wrong, why you're upset, why you're frustrated, why you're sad, why you're mad. And I didn't want to talk. It was just more like, let me go shower and let me go to bed. I think it was like 8:30 by the time I got to bed. It was going to be 9:30. So I was like, I just want to go to bed, sleep, and be done. Well, I told Dad, I was like, I'm not going to help you today. I went in the shower. I got out of the shower. I got in bed. And I felt bad. So I got up, I got off the bed, and I went to his room, and I was like, okay, what did you need me to do? I felt like the shower helped me reset. So I was just like, I still don't feel at 100% where I'd be like, heck yeah, like, let me help you and let me get this done. It was more just like, okay, I was able to get that deep breath in and let me go help. I ended up doing it. I came to bed. I didn't tell him anything. I was just like, it's submitted. I felt really bad because I was like, they're going to think that I'm mad at them. They're gonna think that I'm upset. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what, I just need, it makes me feel guilty. And you know how we're talking about it, it's something that we shouldn't feel guilty for, especially if it's setting that boundary. After that day, I did tell them, like, give me some time and I'll go back and I'll help you, but let me know. But I think that a lot of the time they think we're there when they need us, and I know that they don't do it to like be disrespectful or to be like putting everything on you. But I mean, I've helped translating and doctor's appointments, any document, you know, that comes from anywhere, whether it's from their job or a bill or whatever the case may be, the bank. It's like, okay, well, what does this say? So I think I've always been available to them. And the fact that I was not available at that time, it was kind of like, wait, you never tell me no. Like, what's wrong? So I think that it's just a matter of helping them understand our time and, you know, how valuable it is. And as much as I want to help and I can help, it's just knowing how to ask and when to ask. Like, not, I need it now. But, you know, it has a lot to do with the fact that I've been here. I've always been available. Then once I went into school, and then, well, Joanna too. And then with our little sister, she was like, well, you guys hang out a lot. You guys are hardly home. But it's a lot of that family expectations. Like, okay, well, you guys should be home. Like, you can't be going out that much. So it's been difficult. But I do definitely think that living at home has kind of, I don't want to say push me back, because it's been a real blessing to still be able to be here, you know, coming home to a warm meal, you know, a roof over my head. But I think that they've wrapped me around and have provided everything I've needed. And it's been difficult for me to do that transition. And it's something that I'm still working on, and I'm starting to get out of my shell and explore different things that I never thought I would be capable of doing. But it's just, I think changing that mindset and leaving that clear to them too. I think it's just explaining that to them and setting that boundary. But thankfully they've been very understanding. And I know that there's just things that we still have to work on, but we're learning as we go, because like I said, we've been available all these years. And now when we have our own life and we have our own job, it's new to them, because it's like, wait, you've been here for me and now you're not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing, sister. And what about you, Prima? Asking you the same thing, in what ways has it been difficult for you to self-actualize?
So I mainly want to give like validation to Jeanette really quick, because I think you said something, your parents have wrapped you and protected you for so long. But I think that the same goes for you to them. I think that you have wrapped them and protected them for so long that trying to kind of figure out what does that like distance and self-actualization really like, how does it look like? And we are the generation that is trying to figure out that piece, because hopefully if we choose to have children, like we will understand that for our children and they won't have to be put into in that position where they're like, do I help mom out or do I, you know, go and study abroad in Paris, right? So I do know that they have provided you, and also like our parents, Jack, you and me, our own parents have given us that wraparound and that protection. But I think that we have also done the same for them. One of it, just hearing you talk, Jeanette, really reminded me, and this quote also reminds me of you too, Jack. I don't know where I heard it. Y'all have probably heard it before, but it was like, the toughest man I've ever known are the eldest daughters of immigrants, like the resilience that exists. I am the middle child, but in many ways, I identify as the eldest daughter because I am also very much a hero child. I have done all the translation, all the interpretation. I've helped my parents, you know, pay the bills, you know, do all the things. And so in many ways, I do feel like the oldest daughter. I'm the daughter that my parents trust in the most, and I'm the most reliable. And so I think this also brings up a really good point, and maybe this is a future conversation in another episode where we bring eldest daughter of immigrants. And we have that conversation of, you know, why, even though we have other siblings, there's one that will hold the burden. And why is it just that eldest daughter for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. I remember being in middle school. Jeanette, I don't even know if you remember this, but I think I was in middle school when I helped your dad make his very first resume. And so like really, it's just like the expectations for that specific child, we'll call them the hero child for those that are not necessarily the eldest, is so much greater than all the other siblings. And then we get into the layer of like the expectation of daughters versus sons, but that's a conversation for another day. So I know that didn't answer your question, Jack, but I just wanted to give that feedback and put the ball back in your court. Like what has been difficult? How has it been difficult for you to self-actualize? I know you gave us a few examples. I don't know if you want to elaborate on any of them.
Yeah, one that I actually was reflecting on recently is my want to be able to complete my PhD program at a state. I actually liked the city in New York. I was not in New York for my master's program. I was in upstate New York, which is very much different. I do like the city, but actually one of the things that I promised my mom when I went to New York for my master's was that I was not going to stay there, that it was just my two-year program and I was heading back home. And so there's these moments where I have felt so much guilt with the choices that I've made, but I know that they are the right choices. And it's so hard for me to always sit down and reflect and really think about what my next steps are. And every time I try to do that planning, there's always family in the back of my mind, because I am definitely one of those children of immigrants who is very much traumatized, especially with the ongoing political climate we are in. And so for me, it's been really hard to really follow my dreams and plan ahead with knowing that there's just so much happening that we have family and I can't just like go away. Even when I was studying abroad in Mexico, for example, there was things happening back home where I regretted my decision at times, and it turned out to be a really great opportunity, but I'm always in that constant like conflicting mode. And similarly, Prima, as you were mentioning, you know, I am the oldest, and we by default, you know, so many things are put in our plate, and that also includes with my own like uncles and aunts. There are some of our uncles, right, who also rely on us. As you mentioned, my dad at that moment relied on you, Prima. And so it's been really difficult. And although I love, you know, that my uncles have that confianza with me and I'm always going to be there, there are moments where I have so much happening and then I get told like, but can you help me with this? And I, you know, like we have to pause. I've also similarly, sister, have started to put boundaries. I say yes, however, please give me like a week time to do this. Like, I am not going to be able to do this now. I've set my reminder, Padrino, I will do this when I can. And so, you know, it's really difficult for the self-actualization on my end to just be able to happen, but it is a process. And I do want to acknowledge that there are other children of immigrant who are in much worse situations, right? Where they want to, for example, get a college degree, but it's impossible due to economic reasoning or, again, family reasons where they just can't leave the home yet. Maybe they're, like, again, the sole provider, helping with childcare, for example. So it's very difficult. But those are some of my examples. It's definitely a hard process. It's one that we constantly, at least for me, I'm in conflict when I have to really think about, kind of like brainstorm and think of like the what ifs as well. But that is on my end, Prima.
Yeah, I appreciate both of you sharing your experiences. I know that no experience of child of immigrants is the same across the board. So I love that our listeners get to hear from three different, very different experiences. And, you know, as I listen to what both of you have to say and I reflect on my own answers, you know, maybe we're not coming out of this episode with a full-on receta of how to self-actualize, but what I'm really beginning to see is that we are beginning to use communication as a tool, and we're beginning to also use boundaries in form of options, right? I can't do this right now, but I can try to do that tomorrow. And if that doesn't work, I'll try it on Wednesday, right? And so I think maybe that is the way that we begin to approach these conversations, where our parents or family members are also learning with us. And so I think that even for me at work, I supervise professional and student staff. It is so much easier for me to have difficult conversations with individuals when I acknowledge what they're doing great and what I am grateful for them, and then laying things out like in steps, right? Like, and that, I think for me, that is what makes difficult conversations easier, when we say, when I talk, you know, talk to my staff and say, okay, this is what's happening. We can do A, we can do B, and we can do C. So it makes me think, like, why wouldn't we treat that space or that conversation with our own parents and family members, right? Why couldn't we also say, this is what's happening. I appreciate you so much. I want to help you. This is what I'm thinking moving forward. Do we want to do A, B, C, or D? So yeah, maybe we don't have necessarily the perfect receta just yet, but I think we're working towards it. I believe this is all we've got for you all today before we move on to Palabras de Sabiduría. Primas, is there anything else that you would like to add before we do Palabras de Sabiduría? Go ahead, Jeanette.
I wanted to share, I'm reading a book called Let Them. And right now that my sister was sharing how, you know, there's those families who say comments, or for example, you know, our padrino or tío comes to us and like, I need this now. And then they get upset because you can't do it at the time they need it. Or they're just like, really, like, I really needed your help. This book is called The Let Them Theory. And I just wanted to share something super quickly. The Let Them Theory is about freedom. Instead of driving yourself crazy trying to manage or please other people, you'll just learn to let them. So what does this look like? Imagine you're at work and your colleague is in a bad mood. Instead of letting their negativity affect you, just say, let them. Let them be grumpy. It's not your problem. Focus on your work and how you feel. So I think it's very important for us to start setting that boundary and letting them know, you know, I can't help today. Like Jack, you said, you know, I can help you from a week from now. And if they want the help, cool. And if not, let them, you know, like you're there to help them. And if it's not going to work out, let them.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing, sister. I think that's a great starter for us to reach that potential, is setting those boundaries and not letting that affect us. Sometimes our family, you know, they understand and they will wait patiently. Other times, as we know, some Latinos, some of us are not as patient. And so I think in those moments, we really do have to reflect and just be like, let them, because at the end of the day, we are trying our best, you know, to become even more successful than we already are. I'm sure a lot of us have, part of our self-actualization is to help our parents and, you know, buy them their dream car, or buy them their home, or whatever it may be. And I think it's really important for us to set these boundaries up and have these conversations with our primas and our primos, maybe bring in our siblings, right? And ask for help as well. Sometimes, you know, be like, I really need you to step up a little, maybe at home, or help me out here. Delegate tasks sometimes, I think, is really helpful too with our siblings. But thank you so much for sharing, sister. And we hope all of our listeners have also connected with today's topic. And we encourage everybody to have these conversations at home with their loved ones and also reflect on what is happening at home. And maybe these first steps that we're creating here in this beautiful receta might be really helpful.
Thank you so much. And Janet, I think that is like a perfect segue to our Palabras de Sabiduría, because in some ways that is a Palabra de Sabiduría. I think I can start us off. Today is Global Running Day. Running has been one of my favorite hobbies. And I was really reflecting today in what that running journey has been. And I wrote a little bit of a poem to running. And if you know me and you follow me on Instagram and TikTok, it is there. I did post it actually before we recorded this. But one of the things that if I was to write a love letter to running, one of the things that I would tell running would be, thank you for being my partner in solidarity when imposter syndrome met me at my level up. And that's just because every time that a difficult decision or I was feeling very little or very invisible, I can go run and I can think these thoughts and really, really battle with those feelings and those thoughts. And it came to me, and I guess this is my palabra de sabiduría, is that the only time we ever feel imposter syndrome is when we are about to level up. And so I guess for those of you who have graduated, just like you, Jeanette and Joanna, and you know, just listeners across California and the US, like starting a new journey, a new job, coming out of graduate school or undergrad or even high school, when you feel like you maybe don't belong or this is like feeling funky because this is something new, a lot of the times that is a signal or that is a sign that you are in the process of leveling up. And so I ask and I encourage you to embrace that so that you can take ownership and reclaim that imposter syndrome and instead say like, wow, I'm feeling nervous because I'm leveling up. So those are my palabras de sabiduría.
I love that. Thank you, Prima, for sharing that.
Sister, do you have any palabras de sabiduría?
Yes, and I think it goes well to just what my prima Andrea said, and it's something that my dad always has shared, and it's something that has followed me, and now I think back to it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's true. It's todo sacrificio tiene su recompensa. I think that it's important for us to realize that the sacrifices that we're currently making are going to be well worth it. For example, school, all those late nights, even not going to family parties or having to set time aside just for studying and missing out on some things. It's important for us to recognize that those are sacrifices that are going to be well worth it. I mean, it's something my dad uses all the time, you know, whenever we get a job or whenever, for example, with school, it's something that is very important to me that every sacrifice we make will be worth it. So todo sacrificio tiene su recompensa. Do not forget.
Dad's gonna be so happy to hear that. Mine is a bit more simple, but it's, I think, very powerful, and that is protect your dreams, hold on to them. I know it's very difficult sometimes to really reflect and realize that you might not be where you want to be, but hold on to your dreams. There's always opportunity. There's always a way to do things. It might not be the exact place that you want your job, or maybe it wasn't the location you dreamed of, but it's your dream job. And so again, there's minor sacrifices that sometimes have to be made, but at the end of the day, I think it still is important for us to try and find that self-actualization to, at the end of the day, help ourselves and help our family and uplift our community. So hold on to your dreams, don't stop, and believe in yourself and set those boundaries up. It's for the best. People will learn, we will adjust, and we will continue forward.
Awesome.
Awesome. That is the end of our episode for today. We hope you all enjoyed it. Prima, would you like to end?
Yeah. Yes, perfect. So I will go ahead and finish up with our final remarks. So this podcast is brought to you by Andrea and Jack. And thank you to our guest today, Janet. It is co-hosted, co-produced, and co-directed by both Primas, Andrea and Jack. Editing of the recorded content is done by Andrea and Jack. And social media and outreach is done by Jack. Research on discussed topics is done by both Primas, and sources can be found on our link tree. We aim to make our platform nonpartisan in the case of an opinion being expressed by either. Those opinions belong solely to the person who expressed that opinion. For accessibility features on our podcast, please visit our YouTube channel for the captions. And Prima, Jack, where can folks follow us on social media?
So you can follow us on Instagram at Ponle Acento Podcast, and our DMs are always open. If you have an idea of a topic that you would like us to cover, you are always welcome to DM us, or you can also email us at ponleacento.podcast@gmail.com. We also have our YouTube at Ponle Acento Podcast, where you can also see the video and also get our captioning. And lastly, I'm happy to announce that we also now have a TikTok. So you are all also welcome to follow us there, send us a message as well. And our handle is also at Ponle Acento Podcast. And with that, thank you so much, sister, for joining us today. I am so happy you were here and you were able to share the great news that you got your master's. You are now one of the few primas who have their master's in the family, and I am so happy for you.
Thank you, sister, and thank you, prima, for having me. I am so proud of you guys. Les deseo mucho éxito. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you so much, everybody. Prima.
Alrighty, you will hear us in the next one, and we are down to our last two episodes before the end of season one. So we will be curating our next two episodes con mucho amor, con mucho cariño, and with a lot of knowledge. You'll hear of us pretty soon.
Love, Angel.
Okay.